So my name's Matt Drake. I am a sales engineer at IronKey. Most of you may have heard of IronKey for its secure USB drives. We also have a range of Windows to go devices. And the session today, we're going to take you through the life cycle of a device, the steps you need to take to get a working device in the hands of the user, how you will manage that device in its normal use, and then the steps you can take at the end when you've decided that the user no longer needs that device, or perhaps worse, when the user no longer has that device. Perhaps it fell out of a ride at a theme park, or was left in a bar somewhere. Certainly, I think I can pass myself off as a Windows to go expert. Some of the Microsoft technologies we're using, I couldn't. So I'm delighted to have Regan Murphy from Microsoft in New Zealand to come and help me out for some of the Microsoft technologies.
Cool. Hi, everybody. Just out of interest, who came along to my session on Wednesday about Azure Active Directory join and Intune and stuff? Quite a few of you? Okay. So I won't do too much of the demoing and that. I'll just talk a bit more about the concepts then.
Yeah. Oh, I think I might need the
clicker.
The clicker. So. So very briefly, just in case people aren't familiar with the Windows to Go concept, quite simply, it allows you to install an operating system onto a USB key and boot a device into the operating system on the key. The whole idea is that the image that's on the key is an image that you've control and manage. It means that you're not necessarily booting from a hardware that you're responsible for. Yeah, so quite simply, you would use the same that's going to build again, isn't it? Oh well. So quite simply, you would use the same WIM that you would use on your standard laptops and desktops. Where would you use Windows to go? Well, there's a vast number of use cases. We've seen a lot of uptake in the contractor market, a disaster recovery. Personally, I use that as my own disaster recovery when I'm out and about in case I have an issue with my laptop. Shared PCs are useful. One of the use cases that's not on here is proof and concepts and training for Windows 10. So, load Windows 10 onto a USB key. You can give it out to people for testing and trialing. You don't have to worry what's on their key.
So just on the use cases, in New Zealand, a couple of years ago, somebody left a USB key on a bus. There was some data on it. The next thing you know, all the press is talking about all the data on this key. And before that incident, people would have found something, they would have given it back. After that incident, anybody finds a laptop, USB key, lying around anywhere, the first thing they do is they take it to the press, see if there's some money in it, see if there's some popularity in it. So another use case for having these protected keys is if you do lose it, then it's safe.
Okay, so just a little bit about the life cycle. As we said, provisioning the device, putting your WIM on the device, distributing it out to the user. It's a USB key, so it's quite easy to get around if the user doesn't happen to be close to the provisioning. There's an activation and a setup that could be both at the hardware level and the software level to set up. The management of the device, and then the various steps that you have at the end, whether you just want to do a plain disable, allow you to re-enable it, actually erase the device, reuse it ideally, or maybe destroy the device. And that will depend on the different type of Windows to Go key that you have. One of the key points I want to make, Windows to Go is just another Windows endpoint. So once you've booted into Windows, you can pretty much do the same things you can do when you could do a laptop or desktop that's hooked up to your network. Well, this is my little diagram just to kind of give you an idea of where I think Windows to Go fits. I mean, again, two of the extremes. You've got a fully managed corporate laptop, desktop, purchase the hardware, everything's the same. At the other end, you've got the free-for-all, whether it's just an unmanaged machine, maybe a user-provided one. There's various technologies that we've seen come, and I'm sure this isn't a comprehensive list, but virtual desktops is one solution. We can get a controlled endpoint. Certainly, some of the stuff Regan was saying, where you can actually take over using some sort of MDM technologies, you can have some partial management of a user-provided machine. And another solution, another option, is the Windows to Go solution, where it's still a fully managed endpoint from an operating system point of view, not from a hardware point of view. So the scenario we're going to talk through today, I'm going to talk just as something to give you some context of what we're trying to achieve. I mean, like everything, there's no fixed way of doing anything. This is just one example. We're going to have a key that we're going to provide for contractors. We're going to use Windows 10 Enterprise because Windows to Go is obviously an enterprise solution. Office 365, and manage it with Intune. Now, using Intune, because with the contractors, they may not be necessarily inside your organization. It's a cloud-based service. I think I've got a slide on that. And you've got a subscription model. So it's easy to add and remove devices. The other advantage, you've got fully managed endpoints. You've got a capital saving in your keys. And as I will show you in the provisioning, it's very easy to spin up a USB key when you need it. As I mentioned before, it's easy to ship. And we've got plenty of management capabilities too. A little bit about Windows to Go. I'm not going to get into the details of the different types of devices. First of all, you need a Microsoft-certified Windows to Go key. Gives you the reliability and the performance that you will get with a key that's designed for running an operating system. It's also Microsoft-supported. And you also have a number of other features depending on the vendor you choose. All the IronKey devices are waterproof. Not that I recommend you doing this, but if you leave it in your pocket and it goes through the washing machine, it's not a problem. So there is a link down there to a full list of certified devices on the Microsoft website for those that are interested. A key difference in the types of keys, there are regular keys and the hardware encrypted keys. You can secure your non-hardware encrypted key with BitLocker. The reason I'm sort of pointing this out is the hardware encryption adds a little bit of an extra step in your provisioning process, which we shall cover off. It also gives you a few more options in how you can manage that device in terms of killing it off at the end. Some of the devices have a capability of doing device level management at the hardware level, and of course, across all the devices, you can do OS management, which Regan will be showing shortly. So let's talk about provisioning, and we'll get onto a demo. There's a few options. Yes, please. Should we just flick onto the...
Oh, you want the slides back?
Yeah, just going to flick on the slide. I'm going to go this way. So what do you need? Well, we need our WIM, a provisioning tool, certified device. You might need a USB hub if you want to do multiple devices. So here's a hub. I'm just going to, of course, you can just plug it into the regular USB port. Needs to be a hub with plenty of power, so not all hubs will work.
What's the advantage of using a hub?
You can do multiple devices at one go. So that this is what it's all about. Mass provisioning.
Cool.
And ideally, you need to use an enterprise workstation. If you're doing Windows 10 provisioning, you need a Windows 10 Enterprise workstation. That will also do 8, but you can't do 10 from an 8. There are some scripts you can do it with on a Windows 7 machine, but it adds a lot of
Is there a specification on how much power you need on the hub?
Certainly we provide some recommendations of some hubs that we've tested and that we know that work. I've certainly used other hubs that aren't on the list, and they work. You know, as long as it's a good quality hub with a good power supply. I mean, that I think the power supply for that hub is a 4-amp power supply, so it's got plenty of grunt. And just looking at some of the options that we have available, and I'm just going to demonstrate that shortly. I'm using the tools that come with Windows, single device. IronKey have a tool that will allow you to do 14 devices at one hit, although they all have to be of the same type. But what we've sort of leaned towards is a scripting method. This offers a lot of advantages. You're limited by the number of drive letters you have, so that's probably about 12 devices. It can do mixed types. The best part about that is that you can do a lot more configuration on the fly using the PowerShell script. So if we'll just flick back, we'll just have a look at some of the look at some of the settings. So I've Windows to Go Creator tool. This comes with all Windows Enterprise workstations. It's a pretty simple process. You plug in your key into your USB port. You'll see the key. It will ask you for your WIM. We can select one here. Select next. And we will, it will ask you if you want to do BitLocker on there. You can set that up now. You can set that up later. You can set it up by policy. It will. I haven't tried it, but I'm reliably told it will.
So just for the recording, the question there was, will that integrate with MBEM?
Thank you. And then I'll click create, and I'll go. I'm not going to go through that process. It'll take probably about 10 minutes on this machine for a single device. Hardware encrypted devices, let's have a little look at those. Slightly different story. Oops. Oh look, a 1 gigabyte partition. Very difficult to install Windows on a 1 gigabyte partition. So that's the boot partition. When you boot that device, it will boot into a pre-boot environment. Yes?
I noticed the key you put in was a 32 gig one. Is that recommended for Windows 10 now?
In terms of the size of the devices, the minimum specification to get your Microsoft certification is a 32 gig key. That gives you plenty of space. I think the vast majority of keys will be 32, 64, and 128, pretty much across all the vendors. 32 gigs gives you plenty of space. My typical images are usually less than 20 with Windows and Office inside them. So as you can see, we can't see the partition. It's an encrypted device, okay? So we need some extra tools in order to set that up. Now, I think this device is already set up. There's a lot of extra steps to set up an encrypted key. It's quite tedious, as if anyone has done it. So the solution that I'm generally recommending is a scripted solution. We have a utility, command line utility, that can set up the encryption for you. You can put in your script, lots of flexibility. You can set the machine name. You can see some of the commands. So this script is a generic script. It was originally developed for Michael Newhouse, and plenty of other people have contributed to it before we got involved. We can set all our passwords. we can set our regional settings. So it means when the user first boots into the key, we don't get the US settings. We can get some Australian ones. Now, I'm not going to run through this process. It will take some time. There's nothing to see. But here is a process I ran earlier, and here is a provision device all ready to go. So we've provisioned our device. Quite simply, what is the next step? Well, let's try and boot into the device. Now, this is what we had a few issues with when we were setting up, and hence our delay. So I'm not 100% sure this bit will work, but we will give it a go.
So just while we're waiting for that to boot up, you said you've got the secure devices,
and
you've got to open the operating system partition.
Yeah.
You need a special password for that when you're booting the device, is that right?
You set the password during the provisioning process, and even if you have a BitLocker device as a pre-boot process where you have to enter a password.
And what happens if you enter the wrong password?
It will give you a nasty message, and if you keep on doing it, it will either wipe your device, or if you've configured it, it will kill the device. So with the hardware encrypted devices, they are really secure.
So they self-destruct?
Not in a James Bond style. real life isn't quite as exciting as the movies, unfortunately.
So if you are playing with one of these silver devices, recommend that you set it to not self-destruct when you're playing
Absolutely.
With it, just in case.
Yeah, it will avoid expensive mistakes.
Yep. Cool. Okay, we can see the screen still.
Yeah, let's hope we can still see the screen on the reboot. Just while that's waiting to happen, obviously, the one little technical hurdle you have with the Windows to go is making sure your host machine can boot from USB key. If you are running a Windows 8 or Windows 10 operating system, there is a Windows to go startup option which you can set, which will do that for you. If it's a Windows 7 machine, maybe you don't even have a hard drive in there, configure your BIOS.
Fingers crossed. We're just on the splash screen on the PC here, and we're hoping it will come up on the big screen momentarily.
If not...
So one of the things with setting up these devices is once you get past the password screen for the Windows to go key, you're pretty much into Windows setup much as you would be with a normal Windows PC. So you're going to go through the Windows out-of-box setup. You're going to join it to a domain, or you're going to join it to an Azure Active Directory, or you're going to create a local password as well. So it really is just the same process as if you would set up a PC, plug it into the network, only that it's on a USB stick, and you can move it from machine to machine, and you can secure it with the hardware self-destruction and all the other cool features.
Yeah, so one of the things that you can't see, and if I hadn't rebooted my machine, I could have shown you a video of it, which I did record, is the customization stage. So the first time you put a device into a piece of hardware, it builds a profile for that piece of hardware. So the first boots will always take a little longer. Subsequent boots of the same piece of hardware will be much quicker. Similar time from booting from a laptop, from a regular hard drive. This isn't looking promising, is it?
Still thinking about it.
As far as I'm aware, I don't think there's any limitation on how many profiles you can get. You can keep on booting it from machine to machine. And occasionally on your first stage, there may be a reboot, which we're going through now. No?
Okay. Is it coming up on the screen? It's not coming up on the screen.
First boot? No.
Have you got the video on a USB key?
No. Okay. Let's.
Shall we?
Hmm?
Should we come back to that?
We'll come back to
reboot
that.
Reboot it, and then you can show the video
after. So why don't we talk about? I'll pass it.
So the question there was, how does the licensing work for Windows in this scenario?
I think that's a Microsoft question. It's an enterprise. You can correct me if I'm wrong here, as the expert. Requires the enterprise licensing. It really depends where you're using it. So if I'm using the device for my own personal use, and I have a workstation with an enterprise license, then I'm covered. If we were going to roll these out to some contractors, then I suspect that's an additional headcount, and you would need an additional license.
Yeah, you have to license the operating system and then step it up to the enterprise SKU if it's just an operating system on the stack. So that's not working.
No. Okay. So do you want to move on to your?
Sure.
Let's see if we've got one more slide, and then we'll talk about the management.
I think that was it.
Yeah,
it's
you.
Management now.
It's you.
Cool. Okay, so
I will boot this.
Well, Matt goes to find the video of the setup. For some reason, the post screen on the machine is just not going through the video sender there. So we'll just talk a little bit about device management of these things. So as we said before, the Windows to Go key running Windows is literally just another Windows endpoint. So generally, you're going to be able to manage these the same way as you would, you know, PCs and things on your network. So part of the provisioning there, Matt rolled out a WIM image file to this device. You can use your imaging and your configuration tools to customize that WIM before it goes on the device. So when you hand it to the contractor, they boot it up, they log in. You know, all of the software is on there, it's pre-configured, it's ready to go. One of the good things about having the device that can run that, and you can encrypt it and BitLocker it, is then you can drop it in the mail and send it to a contractor across the other side of the country or what have you. Without worrying about if somebody does intercept it, they can't do anything with it because it's not something that you'll be able to, you won't be able to use the BitLocker password because you won't have it, or the hardware encrypted password, it's not going to have it. So on the device management side, as I said, you've got a WIM file, you can inject all your drivers and stuff, and then you go through the setup, and you've got the same choices as you have with Windows 10 for how you log on to this device. So with Windows 10, you can log on with your Active Directory account if you are if you're using this in a domain with a domain controller on a LAN or on a VPN. Also with Windows 10, we get that option to join this to the Azure Active Directory in the cloud. So this is no different from Windows to Go device as well. When you're doing the out-of-box setup for that, you can choose to join this to Azure AD in the cloud. Which for me seems to be a really good scenario if you are sending this device across the country to a contractor, because you don't have to worry about the out-of-box setup, having to do an unattend and a domain join on a VPN, all that sort of stuff. So that makes this portable device kind of truly portable if you are going to send it out to this contractor that we talked about. So Azure AD, that basically means that you can use this, you can authenticate against the cloud. If you are using cloud resources, then it gives you single sign-on and all that sort of stuff. But you can work with domain credentials, you can work with Azure AD credentials, you can actually make it work with a local credential as well. The key thing is it just needs that Windows Enterprise Edition. So just looking at when you are using it with the identity, so the first choice that we're all pretty familiar with is logging in with our Active Directory account, so our regular on-premises domain account. So we can do that. We can also use this in conjunction with Azure AD. So if we are using a domain, we're using domain resources. And if we're also using something like Office 365, or maybe we've got Salesforce hooked up for single sign-on through Azure Active Directory, then we can actually use both of these together. So you can be a domain member in Windows, and you can be an Azure Active Directory domain member at the same time through something called device registration. And then the other option is just Azure Active Directory by itself. So you can do the Azure AD join and that setup, and it doesn't have that local AD account. I'm just going to walk this way so the clicker works better. So the other option again is, if you are sending this out to somebody, they could set it up with a personal device, and then you could use in June and things to manage just the corporate data in one section of it. This scenario here you wouldn't really use for the key. You're more looking at a corporate organization-owned device for the key. But this is an option as well. So then we're looking at the management choices. So this is, you know, managing the software that's on there, managing the security, the policies, and everything else. Basically, keeping control of this device while it's in use. So with the Windows to Go tools, the provisioning tools, this is all about, you know, the initial setup, securing that device, provisioning it in the first place. And as we'll see later, there's a little bit about, you know, what you do at the end of the life cycle when you want to retire one of these devices. So the management bit that we're looking at here, this is really what happens during the middle life cycle when people are using this device. You know, Windows 10 in this case on the Windows to Go, it's going to work with your existing infrastructure. So if you are using, you know, SCCM to configure it, if you are using domain controllers and group policies, that stuff will work as well. You will need, if you're sending it across the country, you will need a VPN connection to make all that stuff work. But this also supports the advanced MDM stuff that we get in Windows 10 as well. So that means that we can use things like Microsoft Intune to manage this device, or if you're using something else like Mobile Iron or AirWatch, then you can also use those to manage these devices. The MDM stuff is great because it's consistent across the PC and phone, so if you are managing these devices, you could also share policies with phones. We're not really talking about phones here, so we'll skip over that. It does say first and third party, so I did mention AirWatch and Mobile Iron. So those solutions are MDM tools that are not made by Microsoft, but our MDM, Mobile Device Management Solution, uses the Open Mobile Alliance standards. So all of the stuff that you do inside Windows 10 uses standard APIs. Intune uses those standard APIs, but that means all our other tools out in the marketplace can also use those and have the same manageability as Intune. So just looking at the options here, this is kind of a quick look, mostly around Windows 10. So the identity, Active Directory, you had that with 8, 7, and everything else. With 10, you're also able to use that Azure Active Directory in the cloud. The grouping, so the domain join, again, still your domain join, your work groups, but now you can do that Azure AD join to group everybody in the same security environments. Then from the management, you still use your group policies or your scripting. We do have MDM policies, were in 8 and 8.1. They've been enhanced in a huge way in 10. So in 8.1 MDM, you would really use it as a light management thing. But the surface area for management is much better in 10. Things like Exchange Active Sync are the lightest form, and they all work as well. There is another new tool, which is the Wicked tool, as Macca calls it. But that's the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. You can actually use that to build provisioning packages to install applications, install settings and things. That's something that can be rolled into the WIM when you first provision the device. But it's also something, if you need to reconfigure a device later on, you can build a package and then, you know, email it or provide it on a file share or what have you. And then these people can download it remotely, double-click to run it, and then it can install, you know, additional apps and settings and profiles and things manually if you want to. So that new tool is kind of cool. It doesn't mean you have to restart or re-image the OS. It can add stuff in, and it can be another way to get, you know, more Win32 apps or more VPN clients and printers and things installed, things that the MDM might not be able to do. So just looking at the existing infrastructure, so this Windows 10 on these devices, it will work with all the tools that you might already have. So if you are using Configuration Manager, as long as you're using the 2012 and up, then you will be able to use it to configure Windows 10. You can use 2007 to just manage Windows 10, but you can't use it to image or configure Windows 10. It works with all your domain controllers from 2008 up on Windows 10, and it works with the MDT as well. But just note, most of these products will require an update before they will work with Windows 10. For MDT, it's called Update 1 or Update 1 V2 because there was a slight hiccup in the first release. So an update will be required for all of these tools for 10, but they do support it. So I'm talking about MDM. I like this Windows to Go device because it is a device that's portable. You can, as I said, use SCCM to manage it and group policies and things like you would any other desktop that's on your LAN. But these are devices that are out in the field. They don't necessarily come back to base, well, not in the contractor scenario potentially. They could be working out in the field somewhere. So if it is a device that isn't coming back to base, then that's where the MDM stuff is really good. So MDM again, mobile device management. And this is what you can do with Intune, with AirWatch, with MobileIron, and with other tools. So MDM kind of captures the whole life cycle of managing Windows, straight from the provisioning and the enrollment phase through to being able to inventory the device, so that you know what CPU and memory is on them from a support end at head office, through to pushing out policies, Wi-Fi settings, applications, through to managing so those applications, so managing what store apps get rolled out, how the updates are done, even policies that say that you can't get onto the corporate network unless your device has got the latest patches on it. So you can manage all that through these MDM tools as well. And then at the end there, we've got our remote assistance where we can lock a device remotely, we can wipe a device remotely, and then the unenrollment which pulls all your corporate certificates off at the end. So this is the standard MDM. When we look at what happens with the IronKey solution and the Windows to go, so IronKey has a bunch of tools which help you at the start of the life cycles there, so the enrollment provisioning phase where they can use the tools to provision that WIM, roll it out, push it to the devices, push the password protection and the BitLockers and things down, through to the end there where we do the remote lock and wipe of the devices and removing them completely. So MDM is pretty cool. It covers the life cycle. It was there in Windows 8.1, but if you look at what was capable in Windows 8.1, it kind of just bit into a little bit of what you could do with group policy, Active Directory. So a lot of people thought, yeah, that's cool, but it doesn't really do enough. I can't lock down things very well. So when we're looking at Windows 10, then what you'll see, if you watch quickly, then that MDM area kind of extends a bit further. So group policy's got some 3,500 policies. They'll probably never all be replicated in MDM because there's probably some really stupid policies out there now. So what they've done is they've looked at MDM, they're targeting the key policies that people are using from group policy when they're looking at all the telemetry, targeting the key scenarios, and they're trying to build those in the MDM management style first. So now we've got to a point where you can probably go sort of 3/4 of the way through managing a device using the MDMs that you could do in the past with group policy. If you want a super lockdown platform, then you're still probably going to look at group policy, either on a domain or using SCCM in conjunction as well. But for most people, the MDM stuff is enough, and it will cover enough of the policies. It can lock you out of USB drives, it can turn off GPS location, it can turn off Wi-Fi and things like that, Bluetooth, if you want it to. So it doesn't cover all of the scenarios, but it covers a lot now. And there will be a TechNet article that lists all of the different policies that you can do with it. So if you're thinking about where the MDM is going to work, go and have a look through the policies and just make yourself comfortable that they're there. So I'm just going to quickly show you what it looks like when we do manage a device with MDM. And let me figure out which one this was again.
Eight.
There we go. It's timing me out again. Okay. So this is a device, this is running off a Windows to go key, and it has booted and everything, and it's logged in with a user that's connected to the Azure Active Directory. And I'm just trying to log back into the Intune control panel here. So one of the cool things about Azure AD is that you can set up multi-factor authentication, so it's sending me a text message to complete my log on here, which will come through momentarily. So one of the things that, here it is, let me pop that in, 19652. Cool. So this machine's up, it's enrolled, it's running, it's getting its apps and settings and things pushed down by MDM. And if I have a look at the network settings here, one of the things you should see when we have a look in our network settings is I've actually got some Wi-Fi profiles that have been rolled out through the MDM. I will go and have a look at all my Wi-Fi. and scroll down. So down the bottom here, I've never actually connected to the top two networks that are on here, the ID323 one or the Ignite November one. But these are two Wi-Fi profiles that were automatically pushed down by the MDM to this key once I logged on and set it up. The top one there, the ID323 one, this is a WPA PSK protected one with the username and password. So that username and password was encrypted and sent down as a hash phrase to this device. So now this one here, maybe it's a contractor, they go near one of our branch offices, they can automatically connect to our Wi-Fi without ever having to know what the password is to actually connect to our Wi-Fi. So you can think of a scenario of a contractor, it's great to give them that ability to connect, but not have to give them the ability to know how to connect, so if they come in on another device. So there are other things that you can configure. If I have a look up the top, there's some Wi-Fi settings that I've sent to this as well. So I don't know, who's heard of Wi-Fi Sense in Windows 10? Yep, and who likes everything being turned on by default? So a couple of these settings here are turned on by default, so it'll automatically connect to any open wireless network that you go near. And the second one is if you've got contacts, it'll actually share wireless networks if you want it to with your contacts. So with MDM, you can actually configure some settings to turn both of these off. So again, on this one, I've configured those, send it down, and this machine doesn't connect to anything automatically. It's only going to connect to the ones I've specified. And you can actually restrict it further to say only ever let it connect to the ones that I've specified. Some other things that you can do in here, I've got location privacy. So in this case here, you'll see that location is grayed out. The MDM has been configured to basically block this machine from using GPS and location and stuff. So you can do that through MDM, and then that stops the user from being able to change it. Also, I can't remember if I did this or not. Okay, Bluetooth is not currently disabled. So this is something else that we could control by our MDM. So I might as well go and show you how we do that. So this is the Intune dashboard here, or the Intune control panel here. If I go to the dashboard, you'll be able to see how many devices I'm managing with Intune. Over here, it's showing me I've got six devices, three of them Windows Phone. If I scroll down to the policy and have a look at the configuration policies, then what you're going to see is a number of policies I've configured to do things like enterprise data protection, which is brand new. This released just in the last week. What enterprise data protection does is it lets you specify applications on the machine, and then you can tell it, don't let somebody copy the data out of those applications and paste it into unauthorized applications, or don't let somebody save a file to a non-approved company share. So that means that they can't grab a file out of email, save it out to their OneDrive, but maybe they can save it to their business, OneDrive for business, or their Dropbox for business, or whatever you configure is an okay location for them to save it to. We saw a little bit of that in the keynote, I think. Then there's also some other things there, disable autoplay on the machine, or autoplay. Block the camera, you can block the camera from working on these machines as well. If I hit the camera app, it's going to fail miserably. And then down the bottom, you can see I've rolled out some VPNs and some Wi-Fi profiles and stuff. So I'm just going to do one very, very quick policy here. Just go through Windows and go to a general Windows policy. And on this one here in Intune, it gives you a number of common settings that you can go and configure. There is the ability to go and create a list of another couple hundred settings or another few hundred settings through a custom policy. But this one has got a bunch of common ones. So I'm just going to say block Bluetooth and scroll down. And somewhere on here, it should show me a policy that says allow Bluetooth. And okay, so allow Bluetooth is not configured. So I'm just going to turn that on to configure it and then tell it to basically not allow Bluetooth. So, whoops. Again, here we go. So I'm going to tick that on, and I'm going to say allow Bluetooth no. I'm going to go save policy, and that will ask me to deploy it. So I'm going to deploy it to all my users. Hopefully nobody wanted to use Bluetooth, and all my devices can go okay. So this will actually roll out to any devices next time they connect to the Intune MDM agent across the internet. Can be a couple minutes, can be 30 minutes or so. I am going to just go into my settings and try and force it. May or may not work. And so when you're enrolled in MDM, it's on this page here, Enroll in Device Management. And there are a couple of buttons here that you can hit, Sync and Info. So Info tells you what MDM you're looking at. In this case here, we're looking at Intune. We can tell by the URL, but this could just as easily be a mobile iron or an AirWatch MDM URL. And I'm just going to hit the Sync button. And this may or may not do it straight away. There may still be a delay. But once that's done, eventually this setting will be rolled out to this machine. Bluetooth will be blocked. And as I said, this is quite a nice way to be able to manage devices that are out there in the field on a portable Windows to Go stick. So you can do this. Okay, Bluetooth is turned off now. And that must have rolled out while we just had the screen up. That's pretty cool. Does it let me turn it on? Whoops. It'll actually turn it back off again, and then the next time around it'll stop me from being able to set that. So. But yeah, so if you have got devices out in the field that are mobile, you could be managing this with SCCM, with group policy, etc. That does really require you to have a VPN back to your domain controllers and your SCCM servers and things. So if you don't actually have local area access for these Windows to Go sticks, then that's when the cloud Intune MDM or other MDMs make a good part of the life cycle of managing these devices. So let me just jump back across the map. Have you got that video ready to go?
I've jumped ahead to the complete part. So
back to this one or back to this one?
Let's go to what slide?
Oh, to the to slides.
Slides. Yeah, so we're doing
cool.
Yeah, Intune management. So we've talked about the setup of the device, although we've skipped a little bit of that. We're also going to talk about the recycling and revocation at the end. But if we just switch back to
your PC. This,
yeah, so now I am booted into my Windows to Go machine. The bit that you have missed is the standard Windows sign up. I just logged in with my Azure AD. It recognized who I was and logged me in. Now, I think we can, one of my accounts. I haven't set the activation up. This image, so literally this was on first boot. What have we got in the package here? Haven't been quite so sophisticated in pushing out a whole load of policies like Regan did, but I believe we do have the Office apps pre-built into there. So that was quite simple. It's a slightly older image, as you can see. I've still got the 2013, haven't updated it to 2016. Something I should do. I could have also, the other image that I was testing had the Intune client in. So the image you're testing, you've just gone using the native MDM capabilities of the operating system. You could put the Intune client, which gives you a little bit more functionality.
That's so right.
Booting straight into the operating system. So let's talk about what we can do when we come to we need to recycle that device. The user leaves, the contract finishes, the user, that's fine. We can just recycle the device. With a standard Windows to Go device, you can just re-image it. You can just re-image it and write over it. With a hardware encrypted device, you have to recycle the device. And to do this, you need to be in our management console. I think I've already got an instance open. And I will look at my device here. So the user can't just take that device when they finish and re-image it and say, hey, I've got an iron key. Because it's fully locked down in terms of access to the partition. Oops. So I'm now logged in to the management console for IronKey devices. And these are some of the options that I have. Up here on the top right, we can disable the device. I might have just hit that now with using the touch screen on the mouse.
So when you disable this device, do you have to have somebody bring it in and plug it into your LAN when you
do
it?
So the device that I may have just disabled is the device I'm actually working on now. So this could warrant some interesting results. We have a little client, that's the token that I'm using to access the management console. Here we go. So I have a little agent that's running in the operating system that's polling the management server. It does so at 10-minute intervals or such. So that allows me to send those commands to wipe the device, to kill the device, to disable the device. See what we've done here. So that gives us plenty of control. We've got some logs down here. We can see when the device was it's called home back to the server. But in terms of blocking access to that device when the user has finished with it, or when you've decided the user has finished with it, this is a very straightforward way of doing that. So what should we do? Should we wipe it? Should we disable it?
Wipe it.
So
hope it's not your primary device.
No. It's a... So let's try the recommission. So remote wipe, recommission in IronKey speak.
Was that big rumble part of your wiping of the device?
And now we could wait a little bit. So that recommission, we can cancel that if we change our minds. What's the easiest way? Because I could stand here and talk about it, waiting for that to, and sometime in the next 10 minutes, that device might wipe itself. I think we've got better things to do. I think we can probably speed out the process by logging off and logging back in.
So is that... That was
a log off. That was just a lock. And a, let me do this. Let me
does
sign
that,
out.
Does that force it to repoll?
Yeah.
It? Okay. So this remote wipe, does this work for all of the IronKeys?
The ability to manage at the hardware level is currently only available with our hardware encrypted devices. So, Regan at the moment, they're the silver ones. The black ones don't have any crypto. Now, what we're going to do is show the options using the Microsoft tools at an operating system level. And handily, you're booted off a W300, so you'll be able to demonstrate that in a moment. So, yep. Let me log back into this device. The agent should kick on, should do a call home, and then hopefully the operating system may... didn't put the mouse monitor in, the mouse drivers in. Now, even if you do a disable, it's a very ungraceful type of disable. Oh, did you see that?
Gone,
flashed up. So, right, gone. It's introducing a shutdown. I think it's highly unlikely we'll get a successful shutdown because the device is actually wiped. So what has happened? Well, the first thing that we do is we remove the key from the crypto chip. Without the key, anything else is irrelevant. So yes, potentially there may be a little bit of data left on the flash memory, but you can't really access it because it'll just be an encrypted blob. So. Shut down. I might just pull the device out.
So what happens if you plug that device in now? Is it just completely wiped?
It should be completely wiped. I'm expecting an error saying my device is not set up.
Which we may not see on the main screen.
Which
anyway.
We may not see on the main screen. Yeah. I will post a video of this, of the whole process, because we've obviously missed a few steps. You'll have to take it as our word. But I will on my Twitter feed post a link to a video, and you can see the complete process of the wipe and the disable, because it's I always thought it's going to be a bit problematic to show some of this stuff on the video screen. It certainly worked on external monitors in my testing, so I'm now booted up. Are we going to see any of that?
Probably not.
Not even on the VGA.
Okay, the screen that we've got at the moment, it just says put in your password to unlock it.
No.
And now it says there's no operating system. Cool, yeah. So it worked.
So I do have an error saying there's no operating system. So that process, that device is effectively in a factory reset state, and we can now reuse it. So, as we said before, what can you do if you've only got BitLocker on your devices? What sort of steps have you got to disable that device come the end of its useful life? So, Regan, please see what you can show us.
Number 8. Yeah, so with BitLocker, you do have the ability to use the MBAM tools to do BitLocker stuff. But if you're using the MDM tools, the Intune or AirWatch or MobileIron, etc., then you do have the ability to issue MDM commands to remotely lock a device or remotely wipe a device as well. Or if it's a device that's not fully domain joined, then just wipe the enterprise data off of that device. So once again, we're back up in the Intune panel here. I'm just going to jump to the groups. I'm going to go to my my all mobile devices, because these are MDM managed, and have a look at devices, and then we'll see a list of devices here, and I can't remember which one this is, so let me just look at the computer name briefly.
So one of the advantages of doing the scripted provisioning is that it will set the machine name to the serial number of the device. Well, if you write the script to do that. So when you get to the scenario of having to wipe that device and you're looking through it in your directory, you know, you can check that against the serial number you have logged against the user of the device. Or if you have if you need to reset a device that you actually have in your hands, you can just read the serial number off the back of the device, and everything tees up. You know, if you just use the standard default install, you get a rather generic name.
So this is the generic name. I could have actually gone and looked at the user and then seen the devices that were owned by that user to figure it out as well, unless they had multiple devices, which in this case they do. So this is the desktop that we're working on right now. And in the Intune control panel, we've got a couple of options when they light up. So up here we've got remote tasks. And if we click on that, then one of the options that you'll see there is this remote lock. So in the case that this device is, somebody's forgotten, they left it somewhere and logged in, you can actually go and issue a remote lock that'll lock the workstation, assuming it's talking to the internet. The other option is the retire and the wipe option. For some reason it's not showing up for this one. Maybe it knows I'm actually on this device and it doesn't want me to wipe the one I'm on. but let's say that this is the device we wanted to... One of these ones, okay. Ah, okay. So what you'll see here, I've already wiped this one, but it hasn't been connected to the internet. So I hit the retire and wipe button, and now it's waiting for it to come back online, and then it'll actually wipe the Windows and wipe that device and block the key. So if you do have one of these keys that's not hardware encrypted and has a remote wipe from the IronKey tools, if you are using the MDM, or even with SCCM connected through Intune, or if you're using other tools, then you can basically push out a remote wipe, even from the Exchange ActiveSync stuff as well. But it doesn't want to show me that one, because I think it's smart enough to know that I've logged in from this machine, so it's not going to let me do it, and I've retired the other ones. But it's normally a matter of just selecting it and go wipe. So what I'll do is I'll actually do it with my Windows Phone one here. So retire wipe option. This is what we're going to get. A device that says here, we've got two options. Selectively wipe the device, so this is just pull the enterprise data off of it, or full wipe the device. And I think I got this phone in here. I'll pop it out and see if it's turned on. And this is a Windows phone that's been Azure AD joined as well, so you can do that just the same as you can with a desktop. And theoretically, okay, that's logged on, it's on the internet. And we've got a, just look for another cable. No, it's not gonna work. I haven't got the software in there. Okay, so I'm gonna hit the full wipe on this, and with any luck, this phone here should receive a command, and it'll full wipe the device. So this is a phone running Windows 10, basically the same as a desktop running Windows 10. You can manage them both in the same sort of fashion equally, so the process for wiping one is much the same as wiping the other one. So that's been kicked off. You'll see it says here it's in the process of wiping it, and my phone says goodbye. So it's worked. Awesome. You couldn't probably see that from all the way over there, but the phone just came up, said goodbye, it's turned off. Now it's wiped. This is dead. So picture this phone as a Windows PC running a Windows to Go stick. Same thing would have happened, and that's pretty much how you kill them remotely using the other tools.
So you come back over. Yeah. And you can also, I mean, and also the other mitigation steps, you know, cut off people's VPN access, cut off their, disable their accounts. So, So just a little bit over time, but we'll just finish off some of the tips that will help you with your running Windows to Go. Ensure your device is on the latest firmware. So, especially on our hardware encrypted devices, we do update them quite regularly. Make sure you update them. Set the device to boot from the USB key. A good idea is, well, this is probably, as I said before, set the machine name to use the device serial number. Makes it easier to track. Certainly with Windows 8, using a wired connection was advantageous. It seems now that the Windows 10, you get a wireless connection set up much earlier in the piece, and that seems to be better. Beware, not all USB ports are equal. Some have different power ratings. So you may sometimes find that you plug your Windows to Go device into one USB port, it won't work. You plug it into the one on the other side, it will work. Another point that I did think of, I thought I'd add it to the slides, but maybe not on the ones that are up here. You can put both the 64-bit version and the 32-bit version of Windows onto two different USB keys. Be careful if you take a key with a 64-bit version of Windows and try and boot it off a 32-bit version of the hardware, it won't work. So that's caught me out a couple of times. This device won't work, and yeah, it was a low-end 32-bit machine. As we've said a number of times, Windows to Go is just another Windows endpoint. Well, yes, it is. Just a couple of little things to watch out for. Sometimes the license validation gets a little bit confused by moving it around from hardware to hardware. That's fine if you're using a BYOD machine. If you're roaming across lots of machines, it can be an issue. In-place updates don't work. So you can't go from if you hit a Windows 8 key to a Windows 10, you have to re-image it. Fortunately, as we've seen, that's a very simple process with a Windows to Go device. I haven't actually tested whether you can go from 10.240 up to the 15.11 build. So yeah, only just came out, and I was too busy prepping for everything else to actually test that. But again, you know, re-imaging with the keys. Some endpoints software gets a little bit confused with the Windows to Go devices as well. Seems to be getting better, and they're adding support for it. Fortunately, if you're using Intune, you've got an endpoint solution built into your image, and that does support Windows to Go. Again, with some of the VPN clients, they may be tied to the hardware. Generally, they may work. You just might have to reconfigure them to work a little bit differently. And one peculiar thing I'd have seen is you sometimes get a time shift as you switch between booting from your hard drive and booting from your Windows to go. I haven't really sussed out the reason why. Maybe it's something to do with, you know, whether the looking for the time and the BIOS in UTC. But again, if you configure NTP, that will fix it up very quickly. Okay, so it is almost at the end of the show, but we do have a stand just out there. Please come and see us if you've got any more questions. Send us a tweet if you've got any questions or any information you think of after the event. Regan's got a hot shoe-it off for an aeroplane, but he will be around for a few questions. And one of the things we're also going to do, evaluation. So yeah, please complete your evaluation sessions, and you win some prizes. And I do have a couple of iron keys that we're going to give away after a few questions. Why don't we give away an iron key now?
Go for it.
Now, one of the things that Leon Brown, our product manager, came down and he did his first session, and he decided to give away products. The easiest way he decided he was going to do it was using paper, scissors, rock. So mass paper, scissors, rock for an iron key. Right, I'm in the great position. I can't lose. Can everybody stand up? I'll have my referee. Right, we're going to do this on the 1, 2, 3. A little bit of honesty here. Right, 1, 2, 3. Two rocks sitting down. All right, 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, there's a few stood up. Well, let's go again.
You're too
predictable. 1, 2, 3. How many people have we got stood up?
Well, one paper and a few rocks.
All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, what's that? 1, 2, 2 left, is it?
No, 3 one. Left. Four.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, so it's bad.
1, 2, 3.
Two scissors and a paper. Wow. How many
keys have you got? should we go, Alex? No, three of you. Come up. Let's go.
Hey, thanks, guys. And don't forget to continue your Ignite learning path with all these lovely resources. Virtual Academy is pretty cool. Lots of videos and PowerPoints and quick quizzes in there. So pretty much any subject you can think of across the Microsoft landscape, they've got stuff up there. So go and check that out sometime. And thank you all for coming.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd like to thank Regan again for filling in and doing the Microsoft part. Any questions? Yes. Yep. So the question was about the drivers and what you can do in the image. Generally, the base image will have enough drivers to get you up and running for most things. It will boot off a Mac with the base drivers. You'd have to put the bootcamp drivers in there. If it's a Windows machine, it will generally use the Windows update to update those drivers. So, for example, when I booted up there, I didn't get the drivers for the video straight away. But once it had been on the network for a little bit, it popped up the right driver, and you could see the screen. But you just couldn't do it in the pre-boot.
The one thing to watch out for there is wireless drivers. Yeah. Can be an issue sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's not foolproof. Occasionally, you may have to manually install stuff, but the vast majority of the time, it will work.
Over the back here.
Absolutely. So the question was, can you use an ANSI file when you lay your WIM down? So that scripting method that I used actually generates an ANSI file on the fly as part of the process, taking in some of the variables and generating that. If you've got, yeah, so yes, you can use an ANSI file.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole idea about the process through the script is it can use a lot of the, maybe a lot of the scripting and the methods that you have already for your desktop provisioning. You know, we're not wanting you to really sort of, you know, to reinvent the wheel in your provisioning process. Yes, sir. Yep, so you can obviously provision the domain joined during the provisioning step. I believe you can also use the offline domain join feature as well in the process.
I'm not sure how that works with direct access.
I think
it should do.
Certainly it would be provisioned. I certainly think James Bannan has done a demo where he's done that. So direct access, but yeah, domain join, it will work.
Christian, yeah.
How about locking in DAOs? So if I've got like a trainer that does
a roadshow? Sure. So as I said before, it's like any other Windows endpoint. You can really lock that down just using the same Windows tools, group policy, and everything else to do that.
Like, so we deploy, and I don't want, kind of like a, you know, when you lock a terminal there,
yep.
I don't want any changes, like where that thing, any changes.
Yeah, look, you could, it's probably a software solution that you could use on there that would set the desktop back to its, you know, the disk back to its known state.
So when you're doing this for trainers with machines, do you usually go and re-image them for the next day? Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, you can use the same kind of re-imaging process on a key as well. Mm. If you've got a WIM file and all that built up, you could just reprovision it. If it's not one of the secure ones, then you can just run the Windows2Go wizard and reprovision it in about 10 minutes back to factory, if you like. That factory can be whatever your image has got in it. Otherwise, you could image the Windows partition manually as well. If it's a secure device, it's going to be a lot harder. So if it's a secure device, yeah, that's going to be more difficult. But for the non-secure devices, pretty straightforward to just reprovision them as you go if you need to.
Plug them into a hub, run a script. Yeah, takes. Yep. I mean, I think I did a full hub of 7 devices in about 45 minutes.
As long as you get the right hub, and of course, Windows2Go is all USB 3 as well. You can't run it off of USB 2.
You can run it off USB 2.
Can you?
Yeah, it will work off. It works. Okay. It works surprisingly well off
you're
USB 2.
You're not supposed to run off Windows 2, USB 2.
I
thought the min spec was USB 3 actually.
It does work, you know, and it's if you start copying large files around, you'll notice the difference. But in terms of just email, no, it's fine.
Okay. But the IronKey devices, as far as performance goes on USB 3, they're pretty damn fast, so they're really good.
So you buy the device outright, and then there's a ongoing licensing fee subscription per device for the management. But it's optional. You can buy a device and have them managed.
Cool. Any more questions?
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming.
Yes, thanks.